Good to see you today. Don't adjust your TV. It's not Youth Sunday. All right. Don't adjust your offering check either. Okay. Just saying. Just because I'm up here, not Randy. All right. Well, I love that video. It's from about 4 years ago. So a lot of those teens are some are graduating this year. Some have already graduated. So it's especially fun. I just wish John was around today, Johnny, to see that. He's visiting his sister this weekend, and I'm just going to have to post it on Facebook or something. I got to make sure he gets embarrassed. That's important. All right. Well, welcome, and today, you'll see how that applies as we go on. Today we're kicking off a four-part series that our senior pastor, Randy, and myself will be tag-teaming to deliver over the next 4 weeks. We're calling it the SCC Diamond, all right? And today's session is entitled, Come, Our Most Urgent Message. Back in January, Randy shared with all of us here at the church our renewed process for making more and better followers of Jesus. That's when these banners went up on the side here, the Come, Connect, Commit, and Coach. And it was all about making more and better followers of Jesus here at Stony, because that's our mission. That is why God started this church, all right? Randy was the guy who planted the church, but God was starting it for real through Randy and his team 25 years ago, incidentally. We're going to have a celebration this year for our 25th anniversary. But we're not about making just more followers. We're not about making just better followers. We want to be a church that is taking somebody to introduce them to Jesus and to grow in relationship, to make more and better followers of Jesus. And that's what this series is about. That's what this process is about. You see, for over a year, the elders, the staff, the leadership here at Stony have been praying. We've been studying, we've been discussing, we've been seeking input from the rest of the church with testimonies and surveys to really rediscover, refresh ourselves on our understanding of who God has made Stony Creek Church to be. What's our DNA? You know, what are we good at? How do we do this mission best? And we wanted to explore this so that we're playing to our strengths, the way God has built us to have a real vital impact in this community. And when Randy was sharing last month, he introduced us to the SCC Diamond, which looks like this. It's a baseball diamond. This is just an analogy to help us get our mind around what each of the stages of development are in somebody's life, not just here at Stony Creek Church, but in every person's life. These are our stages of development in our relationship with Christ. The first stage in our development as a Christ follower is to come to Christ in the first place. Then second base, that's connecting with Christian living, plugging in with the way Christians live our lives. And then there's committing to the church, to Christ's body. That's becoming part of the team. And then you know that you've reached home plate and you keep growing, even though you don't just go sit down, all right, I'm retired now from Christianity. You keep growing, but that final stage there that we're going to look at in this series is coaching other Christians to lead others around the bases. That is a person who's becoming fully mature in Christ. And so today we are looking at first base. You want to get your outline out of your program if you haven't already. We're looking at come. There we are. And what I'd like to do while you're getting your outline out, we want to start by defining what we mean by come. What does come to Christ mean? And so this is the first thing you can write down there on your outline, and it's this. To come to Christ means to place your trust in Jesus, Lord and Savior. We're going to spend a lot of time unpacking that important sentence. To place your trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. Come does not mean just come to a special event that we're having. It doesn't mean to just come to a Bible study or come to church. Those things may lead to first base. They do lead to first base. But when you know you've arrived at this benchmark in your life, in your walk with the Lord, when you have placed your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, when you've made that decision to follow Him for the rest of your life. Now, in every step in a person's spiritual journey, there's God's part and there's our part. Okay, there's the stuff that only God can do. And then there's the stuff that God won't do, that He expects you and I to do. That's at every stage. That could be across the whole diamond. But I want to look at that especially closely this morning when we're looking at how to get to first base, to come to Christ. And so on your outline there, you've got this list that says God's part and my part in coming to Christ. And we're going to look first at God's part. All right? And here we go. So the first, number one, God's part in bringing somebody to Christ is that He created us for relationship. We wouldn't even be here with the opportunity to run to first base if God hadn't put us on this planet. God created us for relationship. In the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible, God is creating everything, and He makes human beings, men and women alike, in His image to have a relationship with Him. Let's take a quick look at that there. And he sets us up to manage his creation and to have relationship with him. It says in Genesis 1:27 and 28, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. This was the greatest honor and privilege and joy we could have, to be created in God's image, to be set apart from the rest of creation, to know him in a personal way, and to be given the responsibility to manage everything else. In fact, when we know God, when we live for him, we indeed get the very best, his very best, out of our lives. Jesus said it like this. Now we flip into the New Testament. He said about himself and what he came to deliver to those who follow him. You can help me out with the yellow print. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He offers the full life, the abundant life, his best for our lives. So what's the problem? That sounds great. Well, the problem is, while God created us to have this relationship with him that we begin at first base, we walked away from God. We walked away. God didn't. We did. We rebelled against him. It began in the garden. I'm sure you know the story, of course, of Adam and Eve. But that rebellion, that walking away, what the Bible calls sin, that continues to this day. We see it, how we hurt ourselves and others. We see it in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. We've quit living like God is the boss, which he is, and started living like we're God, like we're the boss. And we walked away. The Bible says it like this. In Romans 3:23, the Apostle Paul wrote, when he's explaining why we desperately need Jesus, he says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We've all walked away. Sin breaks our relationship with God. It tore us away. If we were at first base already in the garden, it tore us away from the whole diamond. It separates us from God now and into eternity, called hell. And so while God created us for that relationship, we walked away, and the penalty is that separation will last forever if it isn't dealt with. But that leads to the second big thing God has done to get us to first base, and it's this. He was crucified for our sin. Jesus is God the Son, the second member of the Trinity. He became a human being. He took on flesh to reveal God to us, to show up in our time and space and say, I'm here. He taught us what it meant to live for him, retaught us. And he suffered on the cross that separation from God the Father that we earned when we walked away, that we earned when we rebelled, when we sinned. He suffered it there on the cross in our place. In the same book that we just read from, Romans, the Apostle Paul says this while he's explaining this. He says, the wages of sin is death. That's what we earned, a spiritual death, not just physical, that separation from God that goes on into eternity. But then he says the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. How do we get that eternal life? How was that purchased for us? Well, he explained that a little earlier, the chapter before. Paul wrote this. He said, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Help me out. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were still sinners. We were all, as a human race, shaking our fist up at heaven, not looking to come to first base, not looking to get back reconciled with God. We weren't searching after it. Not that we could get there on our own anyhow. But while that was going on, Jesus came in and he made it possible. He endured the cross in our place. There on the cross, he suffered that spiritual death, that separation from God, so that all who will trust in him will not perish but can have everlasting life. This is our most urgent message. I called this base the most urgent message. This is the gospel message. The gospel is this. This is worth writing down just to take a note, maybe on the back of your program. The gospel is that Jesus is Lord. He's God. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, and he arose from the dead. He proved exactly who he was and what he said he was going to do. He is God. The resurrection proved it. He beat death for all of us. The resurrection proved it, if we'll trust in him. So God created us for relationship. When we strayed away, he made the way back to him possible with the cross. And the third thing that God does to get us to first base is that he calls us all to come. Write down, calls us all to come. At the very first public gospel presentation that was done after Jesus had gone to the cross, after he had been raised from the dead, after he ascended into heaven, Peter and the other apostles were in front of thousands of people, and he gave the first public gospel presentation. The crowd's answer to him was, what should we do with this information that Jesus died on the cross and that he arose from the dead, paying for our sins and beating death for us. What should we do? And Peter replied like this. It says in Acts chapter 2, he said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. We're the far off. 2,000 years later, this message is still going out. People are still being called by God to repent, to put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. God is calling each of us to trust in Christ, to come to first base. Who exactly is called? Is it just a few people, just the people here at Stony Creek Church? Who's called to repent and trust in Christ? Everyone, of course. Later on in the book of Acts, just in case you were reading Acts and you had that going through your mind, Paul gives another public gospel presentation. He says this. He says, God commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set the day where he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And like we already said, he has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Jesus is going to come back. He is going to judge the world. That time is coming. It is set. And in the meantime, God is calling all people everywhere to turn away from sin and to trust in Christ so that we will be saved, so that when we come back, he will welcome us into his kingdom. So the question then, God created us for relationship. When we strayed away, Jesus went to the cross and suffered our penalty so that we don't have to. And God calls everybody everywhere to come to him. So why isn't everybody in this world a Christian? It seems so obvious. Just do it. Just trust in Christ. Why isn't everybody at first base at least? Well, that's because there's our part. God did his part, the part we could never do, but then there's our part. And God won't do our part. He's given us our free will choice. Are we going to come to first base? That's up to us. The way is paved. He did what we could never do and make the way back to him possible. But then there's our part. So what's our part in making it to first base? Let's look at that. Number one, we need to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's the title of first base, come to Christ. It's the most obvious one, right? If you're supposed to get to first base and that's come to Christ, what do we need to do? Come to Christ. Do it. You got to make that decision. Jesus said this about himself. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Help me out. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said he is the answer for everyone, everywhere. He is the way. We need to come through him, to him. It's the only way. And remember what coming to Christ meant? You wrote it down already on your outline, right? It meant placing our trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. I want to break that down a little bit. I want to break that down. These words are chosen very carefully. This is the way we word it in our membership class so people understand what is our response to the gospel message. The word trust is a great word because it's not just believing that there's a God or even believing that Jesus is Lord and Savior out there somewhere. Scripture teaches us, as you can probably logically deduce, the devil knows that. He believes Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is Savior, but he's not going to heaven. All right? So trust is we have put our trust in Jesus to be our Lord, our Savior. Lord means he's God. He's the boss of us. Our sin was walking away like we're God and we're saying, that's not me anymore. I'm not in charge of me anymore, Jesus. You are. That's what Lord means. And to trust in him as Savior means I know I can't get back to God on my own. I know that even if I give a ton of money to charity, even if I try to do a good deed every day, even if I try to be very religious, that it's never going to get me there. And so I don't trust in myself to save me anymore. I trust in Jesus' work on the cross to save me. I was talking with Randy about how do you share the gospel with kids? We were talking about this not too long ago. And because of course, I've shared the gospel with my kids, but you wonder what they're getting, you know, are they quite getting it, you know, and are they just saying, yeah, 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 dad, because I'm telling them to say, yeah, 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 and so you just want to be sure, and he gave me a great helpful hint or tip on how to teach kids. He said, put them up on the bed and say, do you believe I'm here to your son or your daughter, and they'll say, yeah, I believe you're there, dad, you know, and then say, all right, do you trust in me enough to jump? Will you jump and let me catch you? That's trusting. That's not believing that Jesus is God out there somewhere, but trusting in him. As your God, as your Savior. That's what it means to come to Christ. And Paul wrote this in Romans. He says, if you confess Jesus is your Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what it takes. Saved from the penalty of your sin, ushered into relationship with the living God who created you, who loved you, who believed you were to die for and died for you. and who called you to himself, you'll be saved back into relationship with him. The Gospel of John begins with this promise, and I hope that if there's anybody here who needs to come to first base for the first time, you need to come to Christ today. If you haven't done that already, I pray you would do that today. You can talk with me after the service if you still have questions. Randy's here. He's still on the clock. Okay, I'm teaching today, but he's not off today. All right? We've got the pastoral prayer team that's always willing to talk with you, pray with you down here faithfully every Sunday. Come talk to somebody if you have questions, or you can just do by saying, Lord, I know I need you. I'm a sinner. I trust in Jesus. He is my God. He is my Savior. I pray you'll do that today, because if you do, this is what the Gospel of John says about for you. It says, all who believed in him, in Jesus, and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You came in here today, whoever you are, from wherever you came from, and you can depart here today as a child of God by putting your trust in Jesus, by making it to first base today. My hope and prayer is nobody would leave here without doing that. I pray you'll consider what to do with your eternity even before you consider where to eat lunch after church today. All right? Well, there's one more thing on your outline with our part. So you've come to Christ. Excellent. What's next? Now what? Well, what about your friend? What about your family member who hasn't made it to first base? Your neighbor? What about your coworkers, your boss, your employees? What about your classmates or even your teacher? Do they know Jesus? Have they put their trust in Jesus to save them from their sins, to usher them into eternal life like you have? Have they received the grace you've received? What do we need to do? The second part, our part in coming to Christ, just as we had a part to get there ourselves, we have a part in helping others get there. I call it call forwarding because I needed a C word. I'm going to put forward Christ's call. That kind of makes a little more sense of what I'm talking about, but I had to keep it as C's. I didn't have to, but I felt compelled to. Call forwarding. This is our job. If you have come to Christ, you still have a job involved with first base, and that's helping others get to first base. At the very end, we started at the very beginning of the Bible this morning. Let's skip right to the end. Let's spoil it for everybody and tell you what the ending is. Jesus wins, by the way. I'm just going to go ahead and spoil that one. But let's look at what it says here in the very last chapter. In Revelation 22:17, it reads, the Spirit and the bride say, come, let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. There's an invitation that goes out at the end of the Bible and says, anybody who's thirsty, anybody who realizes they need to turn away from their sin and trust in Christ, do it. Come, you are welcome. And look at who's calling the people to come. We already said God calls people. That's the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is drawing people in, showing us our need. We talked about God's part, but also the bride. The bride is the church. God has left us here. If you've come to first base and you didn't drop dead immediately, it's because God has a purpose for you being here on planet Earth. This world is still hard. We deal with earthquakes and cancers and shootings and broken relationships still, even after we trust in Christ. Why didn't God just sweep you out of all of that? Because he's got something for you to do. If you've put your trust in Jesus, you're part of the bride of Christ, the church, not just here at Stony, but all over the world. And our job is to call out, come to all people who are thirsty so that they will come in and drink from that gift that Jesus gives us. If that's not enough reason to do it, if you call yourself a Christ follower, let's look at some marching orders. We've read this about a gajillion times at Stony Creek Church. This scripture just keeps coming up. Why? Because it is the marching orders that Jesus gave the whole church. And it goes like this: go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's what we want to do with come, connect, commit, and coach. It keeps going to teach, to learn to obey Jesus in every way, everything he's taught us to do, because it's for our best, and it's what helps the kingdom advance. But the first thing we do is we go out so that we can call other people to come in. I want to say that I think that sometimes we're intimidated to do this, especially, it's weird. There's this phenomenon that I think happens when somebody puts their trust in Jesus. I know it happened for me. I was so excited about it. I went out and I told a ton of people. And if you're like me, you did something very similar. You went out and you're just excited. You've just been forgiven of your sin, brought into relationship with the creator of the universe. You're excited about that. And then I don't know what happens. Like a month or two later, you start becoming intimidated. And you're like, oh, I'm not good enough or ready enough to share my faith. Like, oh, I got to get stronger. I got to learn more about the Bible. Maybe you've been asked some tough questions or something. I don't know what happens. It happened to me. But then we start saying, well, I'm not Pastor Randy. So we all of a sudden, you're intimidated, and you're not going to go out and tell people about Jesus. But I want to show you that you had it right at the beginning. You had it right at the beginning. You don't need to be a coach to help other people get to first base. You just need to round first base. If you've gotten to first base, you can already help others get to first base. You know what it means to be forgiven. You know how you received it by trusting in Jesus. That's all you need to know. And you'll continue to get better at it if you train yourself in God's word, of course. Of course, but you're already equipped. I want to show you a little passage out of the first chapter in John. This is Jesus' first week on the job, earthly speaking, in his earthly ministry, in the Gospel of John. Go ahead and put that up there. And he's calling his first disciples, the first people that are starting to come to Christ. And look what they do. There's a pattern that starts developing early on here in John. It goes like this. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. So Andrew began following Jesus. And then what did he do? The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon. Jesus, I love you. I'm following you. Just one second. Simon, come here and follow Jesus with me. I'm sure Jesus didn't say, wait. No, of course. Look at this. He says, he told him, we have found the Messiah. That is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him. And he said, you're Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated as Peter. That's the Apostle Peter. That's the guy who was leading everything after Jesus ascended into heaven. And he was called by his brother who had just come to Christ. Imagine if Andrew just said, well, okay, I'm following Jesus, and just never went and told anybody about it. We wouldn't have Peter. And Peter did some good stuff. He did some goofy things during Jesus' ministry, but he sharpened up. We all got to grow, right? We all got to grow. But it doesn't end there. This is the very next verse. This isn't another random passage. This is how it keeps going in the Gospel of John. It says the next day, all right? It says the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. And Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael, and he told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He's the one that's fulfilling the Old Testament that we've been promised for all this time. And so just like Andrew, Philip goes out and he gets Nathanael. He comes to Christ and he goes out and he gets somebody else to come to Christ. If you've rounded first base, it means you know what it means to be forgiven. You know what it means to have the grace of God in your life. You got to know that everybody needs this, that everybody needs Jesus. If you know you needed Jesus desperately, that it was life or death, literally, forever and ever, you know that everybody needs Jesus. And so how do we forward God's call in people's lives? How are we going to do that? These are some steps we can participate in. I'd encourage you, again, flip over the back of your program, because I can't give you 7 pages of an outline. I wish you would just listen to the podcast later and transcribe it out, because this is all important. I hate always reducing it to like a line, but it's good for memory's sake. But it's worth writing some of these things down. To help people come to first base, now we're talking strategy. These are some things we do ourselves and together as a church to help people get there. It's so important. It's not about manipulating people. It's not about tricking people to get to first base, but this is so important, we should have a plan. All right? Jesus had a plan in his ministry. Paul and Peter had a plan in their ministry. The Holy Spirit is very smart. He has a plan. All right? He doesn't work all willy-nilly. All right? God is a God of order and planning, and this is the plan, guys. Number one is to share your faith. Share your faith with people. Make a list. Who do you know in your life that needs Jesus? Write the person's name down. Stick it on your fridge. It's okay if they're over and they see their name list on a list on your fridge. They ask what it's about. You say, this is a list of people I'm praying for, and I want to tell about Jesus. Do you have a second? You're already trapped in my house. It's not about doing this in secret. We're not tricking people. Let's live openly about it. But we got to strategize. Share your faith with people. You say, how do I share my faith? What has God done for you? You share that. He's forgiven you of your sin. He's ushered you into eternal life. You can share some scripture. You've got an outline right now that explains what God has done for you, his part. We just wrote it all down. You can go through the passages we looked at Romans. You can walk through a gospel with somebody. Share your faith. You say, I don't know too many people that aren't believers. Maybe you think, I'm considering my social circle right now and it's all Christians. You need to change that. If you only interact with Christians, church, you need to expand your social circle. God has got you here for a reason. Go out and make some friends, all right? I'm not saying you don't have any friends, but go out into the world. You can take a class, okay? Take a cooking class where you'll meet some new people, not a Christian cooking class at a church, all right? Go out, figure out what Macomb Community College is offering for like a one-time class or something. Join a club. It could be even a very goofy club, like the Star Wars dress-up club. That's fine. I'm sorry if you're in a Star Wars dress-up club and I called it goofy. Have a barbecue in your backyard and invite the neighbors. That kind of looks like my barbecuing skills up there. Meet some new people, okay? You got to rub shoulders with the world. You have to. That's what Jesus did. He came into our world. He's the best example of it. He left heaven to come into the world to rub shoulders with us. We need to go out into the world and interact with people. Share our story. Share what God has done for you. Another way that we can help people, another part of our strategy as a church, is to use social media. Use social media. Don't be afraid of that. That is a great resource that God has given us to use. I mean, I know Al Gore gave it to us with the internet. And then I keep blanking on the guy who invented Facebook, but he also gave us Facebook. But everything that's at our disposal is from God to be used to his glory. And social media is no different. We're all on Facebook or something like that, almost all of us. Few of you might not be, and that's okay. You don't have to be. I'm not ordering you to get on Facebook. But if you're on there, use it. But be careful. I want to encourage you to use social media correctly. All right? Jesus taught his disciples to be wise with their resources. He said, use your money in a wise way to influence people for the kingdom. He said, be careful with everything you do. Don't be one of these people that posts these angry Christian memes or these angry Christian statuses. Look at this one up here. This condescending Willy Wonka says, so you don't believe in God? Tell me more about how you're dumb and nobody likes you. Okay. I actually made that one. But I'm not in a million years going to post it. Use social media correctly. You don't want to tear people down. You're never going to change somebody's mind by a picture and a couple of words, okay, if they're set against what you have to say. Instead, here's what I recommend. I want you to consider posting the positive reasons why that you believe Jesus has made an impact in your life, why you love going to church, these kinds of, point out the pros of what you represent, okay? I saw this the other day and I passed it on. It said, there was all these like, this is Joe. Joe sees something that offends him. Joe just keeps on going on the internet. Be like Joe. There's like all these goofy memes and things that came out like that. So somebody very cleverly did, this is Jesus. Jesus gave up his life for his friends. Jesus loves you. Be like Jesus. And I like that. I put it up there. It's super simple. It's goofy. I didn't mean to offend anybody with it. I mean, I'm sure somebody still was, but that's them, okay? But I'm posting the positive reasons why I love Jesus. Let people know what we stand for. Because what we stand for is awesome. What we stand for is awesome. One thing you can do, we say it during the announcements a lot of times, is check in online. Something people do when they go to the gym, they let the whole world know they're working out. You got a reason to let the world know you're at church, okay? We let the world know we ate for breakfast. Big deal. Wow, those eggs Benedict look really nice. Good job. But we got a reason to share what's going on here. We have a reason to share what's going on here. And so share those kinds of things. Little status, just loving church today. Chris was really goofy or whatever. And then when you invite people to come out to church, they've got this bank in their mind, the back of their mind, of all these things that you've been enjoying about it. All these reasons you celebrate your life in Christ, why you enjoy coming and worshiping together at church. So don't be shy with that kind of stuff. The third thing that we can do is participate in our community events. We do community events. We've got one coming up. There's several of these that go on during the year. It's the way we as a church come together and invite our community to come check out a message so that they will hear the gospel and come to Christ. And we need to participate so they can be as good as possible. On March 19th, you can maybe make a little note of this. March 19th, there's the Utica Easter Egg Hunt. It's happening at Grant Park, right across the street behind Wendy's there. And we're going to be there about 10 to 12. It's only a two-hour thing. We're going to be handing out free coffee, free Timbits. Utica's putting on the egg hunt, but we're allowed to be there, to be in the main pavilion and do, they said, whatever we want. So we're going to hand out invites to our Easter service because it'll be the following week. And we're just going to let people know that we love them by handing them out some in a tangible way, handing out some hot cocoa and some Timbits or some kind of snack. I encourage you to sign up for that. You can do it at the information booth, or you can go to our website. Here's our website here. Oh, I got my cool laser pointer out just for this purpose. I'm Randying up. All right. On our website, we've got the digital response card, and if you click on that, show the next thing, this comes up right here. This is just a cool feature. If you ever want to communicate with the staff, the elders, never let Chris speak again, whatever, you can go over here and do our digital response card. We've still got the one in your program, people who like to work on papyrus. But if you scroll down at the bottom here, it says Easter Egg Help. If you click here, Randy and I are going to get an email or whoever's supposed to get the... Hey, somebody else has a laser pointer. That wasn't me at the end. Okay. Don't. So you sign up for that, and we'll get whoever's supposed to get an email for that, we'll get it. This is modern technology, is a marvel. And we're going to plug you in, and I hope you'll sign up. Maybe you're like, I don't like doing those things. Push yourself, okay? This is how we can really make an impact in our community. It's somebody else putting on the event, which means it's going to be a whole new crowd than we would usually get if we put on our own event. And so it's worth going out there and making an impact. Bring your kids and have fun. Mine are going to be there hunting for eggs. They've got like 4,000 eggs they're going to put out. They're going to be really easy to find because that's not like the hugest park in the world. So that's good. Ben needs that. All right. And then finally, the last thing that you can do, of course, is invite people to come out to church. This right here, this service, is where First Base happens most as a church. This strategically, this is where the gospel is given. This is where the word of God is taught in a practical, applicational way. And you can always count on that every week. If it's Randy speaking, if I'm speaking, we're going to do our best to present the gospel clearly, to teach people practical ways to live. We also have special events that come up, which are just extra excuses to invite people to church, right? We've got Easter coming up pretty soon. Invite the family out to Easter. We're hoping to get Gary Habermas back here later in the summer. We'll update you on that. Of course, he's a world-renowned expert on the resurrection. He's also great at dealing with the issue of pain, dealing with suffering, depression. We might get him in to talk about something like that. We mentioned it before, the 25th anniversary of our church coming up. You know, that's a great time. Hey, just come and check out what our church is all about. This will be a good highlight type service and should be very inspirational. And of course, Christmas at the end of the year, but all year, every service, the programming team, the kids ministry, Randy up here, the praise team, everybody is doing their best to put on a service that your friends and family, when they come to, that it will be impactful to them, that it'll be an important time when they get here. And while we can't compete with the entertainment value of Imagine Theater or The Palace, you know, or DTE, we can't compete with that, with light and sounds. We get colored lights, that's exciting. I like that. Create some ambiance in French. But guys, while we can't compete with the entertainment value, there's something they cannot compete with that we have here, and that's Jesus. You saw the overselling the wrong aspects of church. Yeah, I'm glad we have comfy seats. I'm glad we can drink coffee in here now. That's new since that clip was filmed. But that's not but that's not the important part. We've got Jesus who changes lives, who resurrects marriages from the dead and saves them. The Jesus who vitally impacts everybody who comes to him. You can't have an encounter with the creator of the universe and not be eternally impacted by it. Amen. That's who we have here. We have a reason to be excited. We have a reason to invite people. And so I encourage you to do that. The main idea today is this. Come and bring others to Jesus. This is how the church has advanced for thousands of years. This is how revival happens in countries. It starts with one person changing by trusting in Jesus as Lord and Savior and then getting somebody else to come and meet Jesus. And that person gets people and that person gets people. That's how revival happens. That's how the kingdom grows. And so our job is to come to Jesus, to trust in him, and to bring others to Jesus. I'm going to welcome the band back up. We'll have our offering here in just a moment or two. If you have never come to First Base, I've already invited you. I'm inviting you again. If you have never come to First Base, I implore you, put your trust in Jesus to save you today. Don't leave here without doing that. If you have a super big question that you need answered first before you do that, that's great. Come and talk to somebody. If you have put your trust in Jesus, renew your commitment this morning to go out and bring others to know Jesus. All right, let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for our service today where we come together, we study your word, we worship you, and we get reminded about the things that we ought to do because they're what you want us to do. I pray that there are people here today, if they came in not knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they go out of here as a child of God. I pray that they would get the guts to come up and talk with somebody if that's what they need to do today. Or they pray right now with you and put their trust in Jesus. And for all of us, I hope that this was a reminder for all of us to go out and let the world know what we've got here in these four walls, God Almighty, and that we would be encouraged to go out and share it in every way possible with everybody we know. Lord, as we give you this offering, we pray that you'd bless that. It's our act of worship, and that we would see your kingdom advanced because of what you're doing here, that this offering would be a part of it to help your kingdom advance. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.